Good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Pray God's blessing upon you as we spend time in His Word. When Betty did the bulletin for me, and I appreciate her doing that, she looked at the scripture references. She said, "We're going to be doing a lot of reading." But then she said, "But you read fast." So, take that for what it's worth. I hope that you'll not be scared away from the number of scriptures that are there. We're going to move through what I pray will be a real blessing and review for God's faithfulness to those who by faith have stood fast to His promises. And the value in recognizing that is to recognize that we too are called to stand fast by faith in the promises that God has given to us. I was reading an article this morning that puts it in a bit of a perspective. Currently, there are some 200 million people being persecuted for their faith. Think about that figure. And we may be standing in turn to have our chance. So being willing to, by faith, stand, even in the face of death, is very, very important. We are working our way through the book of Hebrews. We're into Hebrews chapter 11. And I'd like for you to look with me to verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Then go with me to verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, literally tents, with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs of him of the same promise." Look at verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." As we examine our text today, we're going to be looking into the reality of the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph as patriarchs, and how they, by faith, received the promise of God and how they move forward in that process. As we think in terms of the patriarchs, it is rather interesting to try to get a perspective. Perspective I'd like to share with you is this, that from the time that God made the covenant with Abraham until the death of Joseph was 286 years. 286 years. Put that in a perspective for us to get a hold of. If you add 286 years to 1776, and I trust most of you know what happened in 1776, you would end up coming to the year 2062, which means you'd have another 44 years to go just to equal that same time. If you take the time frame roughly from the time that Abraham received the covenant until the first Passover, you have 645 years. 645 years. Let me ask you, how long have you been hanging on to promises that God has given to you? From the time God made a covenant with Abraham, promising him that promised land, 645 years till they moved into it. Some of you think when you bought a house and you've had to wait to occupy it, you've waited a long time. It's nothing compared to this. But what is very powerful for us to think about is that as these patriarchs waited, They waited by faith. And as they passed on one by one, the next generation picked up the baton, as it were, to continue to look forward to the fulfillment. And we were told, as we read in verse 13, that there were three specific things. We talked about those three things on Sunday night. Number one, they were persuaded of them by faith. They embraced them by faith. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this strange land. You and I are strangers and pilgrims in this land. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're here for a short block of time, and during that short block of time, we are challenged and instructed by Scripture that the just shall live by faith, claiming the promises of God and beginning to live them out systematically through our life. So as we think in terms of that covenant that was first made with Abraham, would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, please? Genesis chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Turn with me to chapter 15 next, please, in verse 13. And he, God, said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. That's in Egypt. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces. Literally, God cut a covenant with Abraham. They divided animals in two, and typically when they cut a covenant, the participants would walk between the pieces, and literally as they walked in the blood, they were saying, if I break the covenant, then you can take my life. That's the symbol of blood and life. But Abraham did not pass through, but God did. So that means it's an unconditional covenant that God has made, and we're going to see how that's amplified as we go forth. Go with me to chapter 17, still in Genesis, verse 6. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of these, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Go with me to chapter 22. Abraham experienced a tremendous test after years of waiting. By faith, and we talked about this last Sunday night, he received a son of promise, Isaac. And as he received that son of promise, then now he is tested in chapter 22. He's told to take his son, his only son, and offer him at a place that God would show him. And you recall that he traveled for 3 days, took his son Isaac. They went up on Mount Moriah, and there he offered his son. And as his knife was in the air, ready to offer him, the Scripture says that God stopped him with the voice of an angel. And as we pick up in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt there in Beersheba. And we're told in Genesis chapter 25, verse 5 and 7 and 8, that Abraham died at a good old age. How many of you would like to die at a good old age? How many think you're getting close to a good old age? But he died at 175. How much had he experienced in 175 years? Now, I want to emphasize something so you don't get sidetracked. If you were paying attention in each of those readings, we realize something, that God was not only promising to make a nation, which we know as Israel, but he was also promising a seed, and he was also promising through that seed that all nations would be blessed. If you're part of all those nations, would you raise your hand? Salvation is of the Jews, Jesus declared. As we study this, the tendency might say, well, that's old history, that's Old Testament, that hasn't anything to do with me, but I beg to differ with you. It has everything to do with us, because it demonstrates the faithfulness of God, the promise of God. And through that process, since God was faithful in fulfilling those promises, we can have every reason to believe he'll be faithful in fulfilling all the promises that he has made to us. And therefore, it is groundwork for us to be encouraged by that. So we find that God made the covenant with Abraham. Now he has a son, Isaac. Isaac comes into the picture, and we might have to say that in some ways, Isaac was kind of a lackluster patriarch. But he was still listed as one of the patriarchs. He is still identified in the scripture we read as by faith. He was included in the actions that were taking place. And he was looking forward to the fulfillment of the covenant that God had made with his father Abraham. He tended to be more physically oriented than spiritually oriented because the matter of what he ate and the fact that he dug wells before he built altars kind of showed a perspective and a priority in his life. Yet he was still a participant in the covenant, and he passed it on by faith. Go with me to chapter 26 in Genesis. Chapter 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Do you recognize that similarity there? Why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my laws. Jump with me, if you would, to verse 24 and 25. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. God making a promise now to Isaac to carry on and fulfill the covenant that he's made. In Genesis 35, verse 28 and 29, we find that Isaac died at 180 years of age. So now we come next to the covenant that is going to be given as it's passed from Isaac to Jacob. And so turn with me to chapter 25 to get us into our perspective here. chapter 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. By the way, Esau means hairy. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And by the way, Jacob means supplanter. And Isaac was 80 years, or 60 years old, when he bare them. And so as we look at what is happening here, we see that God has given an indication. Something unique is going to happen in this family. Verse 27, the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. I want you to hang on to some things here. God, knowing all things, knew while these two were still in the womb which one would value the covenant and which one would not. And so even before they're born, God is making declaration of what's going to happen. And so what unfolds going forward from that is a demonstration, if you please, of how it worked out. Now, let me share something. When we see what happens and the cunning and the conniving that goes forward from here, that is not to insinuate that God blesses people who are sneaky. Okay? But one of the things that we recognize as we read through here is that God exposes something that already was announced while they were still in the womb, and that was that Jacob had a great value coming from him about the covenant, the promises of God. Esau could care less. So he sold his birthright. When it comes time to the blessing, and you understand that the blessing is to pass on from the father to the eldest son. When it came time for the blessing, then who is going to get the blessing? Well, in the womb, God had already said the older is going to serve the younger. The younger one's the one that's going to get the blessing. So how is that going to work itself out? Well, it unfolds itself in chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son," and he said unto him, "Here I am. Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold now, I am old. I know that the day of my death." No, not the day of my death. "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me a savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may," listen, "bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel him, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Unto me be thy curse, my son. Obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. He's lying. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, what a tangle web we sow when first we practice to deceive. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son, Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Now, listen to where we go from here. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. I want to ask you a question. Wouldn't Hollywood have fun with that? Building all the intrigue. Can't you just hear the music build as you see one go out and the other come in? They would have a great time with that. Verse 31, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of the son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten it all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, right? And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I taken to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be as the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Verse 128. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padanaram, the house of Bethuel, thy father, mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy brother, mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Do you see the reinforcement and the reinforcement of the covenant that is being made? Now, what is interesting is in verse 34 and verse 38, we see how Esau cried out. And in his crying out, he cried out because of the fact that he was not getting the birthright and the blessing. But listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Verse 15, it's warned against a person having a root of bitterness that would spring up inside, would trouble them, and many others would be defiled by it. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as who? Esau. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let me inject something in here. How valuable to you is the birthright and the blessing of your salvation? Well, let me tell you something. In other parts of the world, there are believers in Jesus Christ who are brought forward and they are told, if you will deny Christ, we'll let you live. And if you do not, we will kill you. If you do not declare Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet, you will die. Again, I was reading something the last couple days, and in this particular situation, describing a real life instance in which families over there in the area where ISIS has had its influence, what would happen is they would come to a Christian home, and at that Christian home, they would enter in, and they would say to the father, Will you deny Christ, and will you proclaim faith in Allah? When the father said no, then they took the youngest child and killed the child before the parents' eyes. And then number two, and then number three. The scripture says of Esau, he despised the birthright and blessing. Just because he was hungry, he was willing for a pot of stew to take the blessing and give it away, which was a very indication of his heart toward spiritual things. And though he made a big scene about the loss of the blessing, the reality is he really did not treasure that. He treasured only what he wanted in the physical realm, not in the spiritual realm. And so when we look at the circumstance that is being described here, though that may seem all Old Testament and has nothing to do with the New Testament, oh yes, it does. It has everything to do with it. And today we are called upon to pass on the blessing from parents to their children by teaching children about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand against the test and the bombardment of a secular world that is trying to get us to deny a living faith in Jesus Christ and become lukewarm. And the question is, are we willing to say, well, for this little price, I'm willing to give this up. For this little price of recognition, I'm willing to give this up. And before you know, you've compromised your faith right out of existence. So what a sad thing. In chapter 28, verse 2, we find that Jacob is being sent, arise, go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto you, unto Abraham. And so they're still perceived as strangers. Look with me to verse 12, still in chapter 28. We find that Jacob goes out to a place, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it thee, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Repeating what we already heard previously. Go with me to chapter 35, still in Genesis. And we find God appearing to Jacob again after he comes back from his 20 years of sojourn over there with Laban. Chapter 35, verse 9. God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padanaram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land. And as we look at what God is pledging or promising here, we again see underlining what he started out with Abraham in the beginning. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in that place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon. And he poured oil thereon, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel, literally the house of God. If you go to Genesis 47, verse 28, you find that Jacob died at 147 years of age. He went down at 130 years of age into Egypt during that famine, if you recall, and now at 147 he passed away. Genesis 50, verse 13, says he was buried in Machpelah, the very place that Abraham bought land for the burial of Sarah, and where Abraham was buried, and there he was buried also. Can I interject something here for just a second? If you do much keeping up with the news, one of the things that you'll know is that there is a huge lie that is continually repeated. And the sad thing about it is if you repeat a lie often enough, people begin to believe it. And you know what the lie is that's been repeated many, many, many times? Is the land really doesn't belong to Israel. It belongs to the Palestinians. How many of you have heard that lie? How many of you tried to say that Israel really didn't have any claim or any possession within the land? The scripture shows us that Abraham specifically bought land before he inherited the whole land. He bought land where Sarah would be buried, where he was buried, where Jacob was buried, and that was an inheritance, as it were, and a memorial to their time as sojourners within the land. All the while, God continues saying, the land is yours, the land is yours, the land is yours. Okay? And so, as we follow through the flow of history, we find that the children of Israel do come. They do possess the land. It becomes known as the land of Israel, the land of promise. And we find the period of history multiplied in there with the nation of Israel. And yet now we have people coming out and saying, no, it never happened. You know what? Those are the same kind of people that say the Holocaust never happened either. They deny the facts of history. And why? Because they hate God and they hate God's people. Well, one of the 12 sons of Jacob was Joseph. Joseph, you recall, was a favored son. He had a coat of many colors, and in Sunday school, what did you learn happened to Joseph? His brothers sold him. He went down into Egypt as a slave, and through God's providence and provision, he ultimately became number two, and really more probably really number one, of the affairs of what was going on in Egypt. And it was through God's divine providence and working in his life that the children of Israel during a famine were provided for. And in that process, here comes finally Jacob and the family down there. They came down as 72. And by the time they left approximately 400 years later, they numbered between 2.5 and 3 million. Let me ask you, what kind of math is that? From 72 to 2.5 and 3 million. God said, I will bless you and multiply your seed. And God has been very faithful to do that. And so we look, and you know that I'm skipping a bunch of history here in the process, but go with me to chapter 48 real quick. Genesis chapter 48. Jacob has come into Egypt. Joseph is married and had children. Jacob, whose name is now Israel, beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, these are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed, your children. And Joseph brought them out from before, between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the youngest, and in his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them and the name of my father, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head into Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it is, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall all Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh, and set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with thee and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Chapter 49 gives the blessing of the 12 sons. And we just want to pick up in verse 22 the blessing that Jacob gives to Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessing of thy father hath prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors, Abraham and Isaac, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. And so he draws his feet up under him and he dies. And as he dies, he's passed on the blessing now to Joseph. And here's what's exciting. By faith, even as he was ready to die, look at the faith of Joseph. Chapter 50, verse 22. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And surely God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to who? Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin. Now, God's word is so awesome. We're told in Exodus chapter 13, verse 19, as the children of Israel are fixing to leave Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. How many years were they in bondage? 400 years. How could Joseph think that they were in fact going to leave Egypt and go back to that land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? By faith. How strong is your faith? By faith he believed that. And so he said, now here's the oath that you have to give to me. You have to take my bones with you when you go. And so 400 years approximately later, Moses says, get Joseph. Now I want a little levity in here because you're getting kind of serious. Okay? Think about this. The camp of Israel. They're getting ready to travel. And so they're drawing straws. Who gets to carry Joseph today? For 40 years. That's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? You know, in all the ways that Israel murmured and complained during those 40 years, isn't it a wonder they didn't just dump old Joseph out there somewhere? By faith, Joseph said, God's going to visit, and God's going to take us in there. And he says, and I want to be present when it happens. Well, he got there. Let me tell you what the scripture says about him getting there. Joshua 24:32, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. 400-plus years later, Joseph's descendants get the inheritance that Joseph believed was his by faith. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So what's the good of all of this to us? Well, where we started was Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, and not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the land. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 18, and I'm going to summarize this, we are told Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as what? Righteousness. And God said to Abraham, clear back there in Genesis 12, that out of his seed would all nations be blessed. And the passage in Galatians 3, 6 and following says that all who by faith believe in Jesus are the children of Abraham. This morning, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Are you trusting in Him that when you die, you do have a home over there that's already prepared for you and that you will spend eternity in? If you, by faith, believe that today, you are one of the children of Abraham. If that describes you, would you wave at me? You're one of the children of Abraham. How many are thankful that they were faithful back then? How many of you are thankful that through all the process of history, God has been faithful to fulfill His word that there would be a Savior out of the seed of woman, out of the seed of Abraham, out of the tribe of David, and ultimately that Savior would be a blessing to all nations, and we are of all those nations. We are the Gentiles. This morning, we have the privilege, if we know Christ as our personal Savior, of having even a greater promise than that of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and that is, we have the assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven, the real promised land, forever, forever, forever. As we think about that promise, what a blessed person you are. We're told in Colossians that if that is indeed the promise that we're claiming, then we should set our affection on things above and not on things below. So this morning, let me ask you, by faith, are you still focused on your citizenship which is in heaven? And when the challenges of this life come against you, by faith, are you willing to say, God's made a promise, and God will keep His promise? God has shown Himself faithful through the years to the nation of Israel, and He will prove His faithfulness to me as a believer in Jesus Christ for eternity. If you're here this morning and you've never claimed the promise of the new covenant, the promise of the new covenant is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you've never claimed the truth of that promise, then my invitation to you this morning is do it before it's too late. Because none of us is guaranteed tomorrow or the day after. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you, by faith, can trust in Christ alone for your forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, Your word is true from Genesis to Revelation. Your promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, those promises were true and fulfilled. Your promise to us through Jesus Christ, your promises are yea and amen. And therefore, by faith, we can lay hold of them. And your promise, Lord, includes that no matter what comes against us, by faith, we can be overcomers. No matter how hard things get, by faith, we can be assured that you will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but you will, with the temptation or trial, give us the grace that will be sufficient to be able to face it or to walk us through it. So by faith this morning, we claim your sufficiency. And Lord, we praise you that you are faithful and you will be for eternity. Now may we purpose to be faithful as well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, please. Turn to number 17.